Greetings and welcome to the Family Worship Center Media Ministry, coming to you from the Family Worship Center in St. George, New Brunswick.
Today, our pastor, Pastor Eric Orm, will be preaching a message entitled, The Power of Praying Together. If you would like a copy of this message or any other message from this ministry, please contact the church office at area code 506-755-3759. Now, let's join in with our pastor, Pastor Eric Orm.
Just want to talk to you about something this morning that I believe is a profound, profound truth that we know, but I just feel led of Holy Spirit to bring it back to our remembrance. I'm sure that some of you have already probably read this or got some reference to it for sure from Taylor Armstrong. I just feel to read a letter that I got from Taylor. Taylor walked in here last summer and we sat about right there, and I can tell you right now, I just wondered how it was possible that he was going to comprehend anything. He was so out of it, and I'm sure, you know, his family won't mind me saying, but Taylor looked like somebody stone, and he probably was. But thank God he came, because something touched his heart, and he came again. And he came again, and each time he came, the scars on his face disappeared. And he got a hold of something. And it's because of prayer that today we receive a letter such as this. Can you just bear with me as I read this? It's a wonderful story. He says, Dear friends and family, this has been the most challenging and rewarding time of my life. Since the moment I dedicated my life to following Jesus, he has been guiding me to this place where I am right now, physically and spiritually. God is doing amazing things in this little town in East Germany. As individuals who seek a deeper relationship with Jesus, we collectively make a young group of men and women who strive to know, walk in worship, awareness, and prayer every day of our lives. The village I live in is no bigger than St. George. This castle seen in the picture above is located in a forest. This forest has a rich spiritual history, as the Moravians used these woods for their 100-year daily prayers many years ago. We as a group of missionaries are continuing this cycle. Isn't that something? I'm a missionary, and this is Taylor talking here. My school consists of about 50 students from 19 different nations. Besides the revived discipleship training program, there are three other secondary school training place at the base. The three schools are Kingdom School, School of Intercessory Prayer, I like that one, and School of Worship. Each school is leaving for their own outreach and in different times. My school has three different locations for outreaches: Central Asia, Eastern Europe, and the Philippines. We were given some time to ask, pray about this, and my answer for the staff was the Philippines. I have an awesome group of 16 people that we'll be traveling with. We are leaving for the Philippines on June the 23rd and will be arriving back into Germany at the end of August. While I am in the Philippines, we are going to Manila, Bagola, is it? And also Puerto Princesa. I will be teaching young people about Jesus in other YWAM schools and also spreading the love of music while there. After totally surrendering my life and gifts to Jesus, I have been given opportunities that have just seemed impossible to me in my old life. In my old life. That's a long time ago. God has placed many new people who share the same passion as I do for music, worship, and intimacy with Jesus. I have had the opportunities to lead worship here at the base and also spend time sharing my love of music and songwriting. I never understood the reality of the gift God has given me until I came here, and this is just the beginning. It's like God is taking me deeper and deeper into relationships and discovery every day here as I'm faced with breakthroughs and new understanding of His love for me. The amazing part of this is being surrounded by students all over the world who share this passion, the same passion. I am currently involved with music and arts here at the base and have a few options for after I graduate DTS. Our weeks here are very busy and intense studying. We have a new speaker every week. Right now, we have a speaker from Chicago who helped us pray for revival to break, help, no, not us, help pray for revival to break out in Toronto. She spent many years traveling to Niagara Falls to pray for revival because God was telling her and the group to pray. She was with to do so. Every speaker so far has been amazing. I wake up at 7 every morning. I begin class at 9, and my days end at 6. We have time for prayer and worship every day. On Thursdays, we have intense worship at the Jesus House in town. All of our worship times are very spontaneous, and we really intend for the Holy Spirit to lead us. Isn't that good? Overall, I have been really experiencing breakthrough in my life, becoming very open again, and falling in love with Jesus. I know that God has more for me with this program in my future. The change in my life now is unbelievable. I find myself saying how happy I am and how much joy and love I feel during my daily life. Wow! How badly I long to share this love with everyone I come into contact with. Wow! Oh my, my, my. There is hope for everyone. No matter how far gone from reality you may think they are, God is using people in this world to bring healing and prayer into people's lives. In this time of young people so confused with their identity, it may seem like all hope is lost. But I am a living example of the falseness of this statement. There is hope. My Lord, this is Taylor. This Taylor is not done. My God, as a class, we went to Dresden for a day, a city 2 hours from here. We evangelized and openly worshiped in the heart of the city. While spending the day there, we prayed for many people, seen 5 healings, and just talked about Jesus to whomever God pointed us to. One of the other schools is doing a 3-week outreach right now in Finland, and another spent the weekend in Dresden evangelizing. After praying for the total cost of our outreach, each student will need roughly €1,800. After paying my lecture fees, I am left over with €700 total. I noticed that home churches and their families support students here. I am trusting in God that He will provide all the finances needed for this trip. I know that His plan for me is perfect, and He does not want me to miss out or be worried. Isn't that something? I think that's awesome. I think that's amazing. This here, what we're seeing here, is the power of prayer. What we're seeing here, the results of prayer, how a life such as Taylor's, you know, we've seen Taylor. I mean, and this is not the same guy. But we know Taylor, a little about Taylor's life, starting when we got here last year, when we would visit and so on, and the worry that his dad would have, and Taylor's not come home for days, we can't contact him, and so on and so forth. And this is a result. And do you know what? God is no respecter of persons. What He's done for Taylor, He can do for your family. Amen? He can do for you. He can do for your sons and daughters and extended family members. He's the same God. So we just, but sometimes the missing link is prayer, and also so important to get them in the atmosphere, to get them in the atmosphere where the anointing is flowing, where the presence of God is being manifested. And it's difficult to sit in this atmosphere like we've seen already today, and to go out and not having been touched and being moved on by the Spirit of God. Very difficult to do that. And so I always encourage people, get yourself in the radiation zone of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Get yourself exposed to the radiation of the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. I'd encourage you, I'd encourage you, as the Lord leads you, puts it on your heart, to help Taylor. I think we ought to. No greater blessing than and the fruit that's coming and will be coming from that young man's life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But Father, I pray today that you let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Cause, Lord, your word to explode in our hearts that we've heard many times in our lives, Lord. All of us, each of us here, I'm sure, we've heard this word, your written word, many times in our lives. But Father, I pray that this moment, as we read your word, that it will have new meaning. It will explode. We will have a new appreciation for the power of the Word of God and for the power of prayer. Visit us today, Holy Spirit. Take these words and make them, Lord, let them, if they come with upside down, make them upright as they go into the hearts of men and women in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, we've been married 40 years, a little while back. And in 1999, so we were married in 1973. And in 1999, and we were saved when we got married. We went to church every time the church door was open. We took our children to Sunday school. We didn't send them. For the most part, we took them there. I guess one of the things we probably never attended as much was the youth, the ambassadors, Christ's ambassadors. But we carried our children to church. And we were faithful in the house of God. We were faithful in our tithing and offerings. And we saw God bless us because of that. The fruit of that was amazing, has been, still is amazing. And but even though we were experienced to all of that, and as wonderful and beautiful all that was and is in the life of any couple or family, there was a missing link. And the missing link that held us bound to a level of experience in God and so on was our personal time of praying together. Now, we've mentioned this before, but I really feel it ought to be mentioned again today. October 31st, 1999, we began something that we fought against, not knowingly, it was more me, I guess, but we initially understood at our first couple of weeks when we were married in March the 30th, 1973, and we stopped because of intimidation. We stopped trying the first couple of weeks, and we never revisited that amazing, powerful element that should exist in the lives of couples that are serving the Lord, and that is prayer, having prayer together, family prayer, praying together as a couple. And we did that, and we immediately went from one level of experiencing God and His favor and blessing and hearing His voice, knowing His voice. We went from one level of revelation, at one level of a modest hunger for things of God and the Word of God. We went from that to experiencing Him more frequently, and hearing His voice more frequently, to having more prayers answered more frequently, to having a greater strength and joy in our lives and power upon our lives. Our hunger deepened, our thirst increased for more of God, and we went from a place of almost subsistence to a land flowing with milk and honey. Wow. Wow, wow. And as a result, I believe as a result of that is we are here today. We're here today. We went to another place in God. So just hold that thought. I want to take you somewhere now based on that foundation. Very familiar passage of Scripture, but in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 starts off like this. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Almost seems to indicate, well, you can be in the Lord and not strong, doesn't it? Brethren. So he's addressing them at one state, one level of revelation. They're already brethren, already in the body of Christ. But in the body of Christ, being in the body of Christ, you can be stronger. Whatever level we're at right now, there's a deeper level that we can walk in, a place of strength. So he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. A little forgotten truth that's really a part of the gospel message. The wiles of the devil. Be strong. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. In other words, it's we have the ability to walk in his might. We have the ability to access the power of God. We have the ability to experience his strength. Be strong in the Lord. We can be in the Lord and experience strength. But then he goes on to tell us how that's done and the reason we need to do it. We need to put on the whole armor of God. The whole armor, nothing missing, right? Nothing missing. Why would we do that? Why are we admonished to do that? That ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wiles of the devil there speaks of methods. Methods of the devil. Wiles of the devil, if you study that out, it would indicate that the enemy builds highways into your mind. He builds roads right into your mind. And so the writer to the Ephesians is saying, now I want you to be strong in the power of his might. But in order to do that, you're going to have to put on the whole armor of God. And the reason you put on the armor is because that you are being attacked by the devil wants to build inroads. He wants to have inroads right into your mind. And in your own strength, you're no match. In your own strength, you can't do it. That's why you need his armor. That's the reason you need his strength. You can't do it on your own. Well, I know the Word of God. I go to church all the time, and I even pay my tithes. That's wonderful. But if we look at this, we're seeing that that's not enough. Brethren, that's not enough. You have to know that the battle is in the mind. The battle is really, and we mentioned on Tuesday night, the battle is in the mind, but the war is for your heart. It's with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. So the battle is the mind. And the enemy can find, if he can find some highway, some byway, right into your mind, what happens is you start thinking things that are totally irrational, illogical, and not true. But in your mind, it's okay. Do you know why? In your mind, everything is possible. In your mind, things that are in the natural world, impossible to do, and there's boundaries in our world, isn't it? We have boundaries. We have boundaries in our natural world. There's things we're not capable of doing. We're limited by our physical ability, some more than others. And we're limited by moral codes. We're limited by our situations, some financial, some intellectual. We're limited. But in the world of the mind, it's like Alice in the Wonderland. Everything is possible. I can imagine anything. I can imagine running and jumping up on top of that, you know, on top of the sound booth thing there. I won't make it. But I mean, Gareth actually did it. Gareth can. But I can't. But I can imagine it. But I can also imagine some other things. I can imagine all kinds of things. And the devil, that's what he's good at. And the thing is, if I think about it long enough, if I imagine it long enough, do you know what happens? What happens is if there's no resistance, if I don't have the strength to cast that down, if I don't have the strength to recognize that this is not permissible, it's a world of the imagination and there's no virtue in it, it's not beautiful, it's not a good report, it's not of God, and if I don't recognize that and cast it down and decide and choose to replace that with thoughts that are virtuous and of good report and they're godly, then what happens is that those thoughts become real. And if I meditate on them long enough, I will believe the lie. And do you know what happens? Eventually, that imagination, when it goes over so many times in my mind, I will transition them into a place of reality. Now, what was only imaginary, I got a real thing going on, and I step into the reality of it, and I act it out. And others look and say, "What?" And you don't even know, because sin is blind. What's happened by now is that the battle is over, and the war's won, and the heart is taken in captivity. Do you follow me? So we're told to be strong, because this is going to happen. This will happen. For we do not fight, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. And here's another area. It's so difficult to see. When the enemy who's brought that imagination to one, you know, that person don't like me. That person, you see that way that person turned away from you then? That person, and I don't know, the enemy will sow discord because that's part of his job. That person, they don't like you because. And if you had only done such and such and such and such, and eventually you get to a place you're absolutely mad at that person. And when you see that person, you might even walk up and say something to them, and they know nothing about it. They don't have a clue what you're talking about. Not a clue. But that's the function of the enemy. And so the difficult thing for us to do, and we can't in ourselves, because we need his strength. The difficult thing to do is to separate spirit from the flesh. And so the word says, listen, it's not flesh and blood. It's not flesh and blood. You don't wrestle against flesh and blood, brethren, but against principalities. Wow. This wrestling that you are engaged in, where the outcome is you win every time. Why? When I do it in the power of His might. When I do it in the spirit of Christ. The wrestle that you're doing is really against principalities. Really? Yep. Nah. Yep. And the last thing the enemy wants us to do is recognize that. Because then he's busted. Right? Like if we never recognize it, then it's a field day. It's a field day for the enemy. And the battle rages on. And the battle rages. But the Lord would have us know something today. Hallelujah. He would have us know some things today. And we're going to embrace a truth that we may have put on the back shelf and kind of forgotten. But I believe the Holy Spirit wants us to revisit it. We need to know that all those things that war against you in your mind originates from the very pit. It doesn't come. It's not real. It's not true. It's a lie. It's a lie. It doesn't. It's, is the word truth? I'm just reading the word. And he goes on to say, what it really is principalities. There is a prince over the palaty of St. George. This is a municipality. Well, there's a prince over the palaty. It's the enemy. It's the enemy of your soul. He wants to destroy you, and he wants you to believe his lie so you can destroy somebody else. It's not only principalities, but it's against powers. Powers that are at work. Against the rulers of darkness. Of this age, of this age. There's a darkness that's on this generation that wasn't on the generation when we were teenagers. It's a different ruler. It's compatible with the generation. It meets the generation where they are. We can't relate very well. That's why we need a youth pastor. See that? That's why we need a youth pastor. It's a different ruler for this darkness, the darkness of this age. It's a ruler of the darkness of this age. See that? I mean, the devil is always, he's current. In fact, he brings the stuff on the scene to deceive the generation against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Wickedness. That's what's warring against your mind. That's the wiles of the devil. There is a separation. That's the other area that's become very gray, very vague, and very uncertain with the brethren, with the body of Christ in the earth and the world. There's been this merging. And we want to be accepted. Don't we want to be admired by the community? What a nice that they're not too religious, right? No, they're not like that church. Well, guess what? We're like that. What's that? We believe in the deity of Christ, that the Word of God says, be ye holy as I am holy. The Word of God says, be ye separate, come out from among them, and touch not the unclean thing, saith God. We believe that His blood washes and makes clean everyone that comes to Him. Amen. We believe in being clean by the blood. His blood wasn't shed for nothing. It wasn't in vain. Do we need to be clean? World, do you need to be clean? Well, the very Son of God shed His blood. It must be necessary. It's necessary. Do we love everyone? Yes. Do we love the whole community? Yes. Do we love gays? Yes. Do we love every person, no matter what state or what area of darkness or what area of doctrinal error or what area of wherever they are, we love them. And we will show them the love of Jesus. But let's not get fooled. There is a spirit out there that not only wants to destroy you, but wants to destroy those in darkness. And the only hope for the world is the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel is the only hope for the world. And if we don't preach it, if we don't teach it, we both fall in the ditch. Right? We both. And there is an admonition. There is a commission. There is a call. And there is a responsibility that we, the body of Christ, live like it. Amen. We preach it from the rooftop, sing it in the streets, tell it to everyone we meet that Jesus loves them and He can change your life and make you new. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Someone said to me, "Well, Pastor, what do you think? What do you think of these gay people? Don't you think they were born that way?" And I said, "Jesus, help me. Help me. What do I say, Lord?" And then I heard Him say this, and I repeated it. I said, "But I got good news. They can be born again. They can be born where they were or where they were, whether they were or not. Doesn't matter. What the gospel I preach says ye must be born again." Hallelujah. And if I'm born again, I come into the kingdom made new. Hallelujah. Fresh made over. Born again. A new creature in Christ Jesus. All things pass away. Behold, all things become new by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But now do I have some temptations? Oh yeah. Yes. But Pastor, that gay person may still like that person of the same sex. Jesus said, "If you're going to come after me, take up your cross and follow me daily. Deny yourself," He says. "Deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me daily." Okay. If you've got a temptation, deny it. Deny yourself. Right? All kinds of people have temptations of all kinds. But we deny it. So the point I made, well, I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, but I said, "Well, what about someone who's a kleptomaniac?" They say they're born that way. So the judge, they come up before the judge, and the judge says, "So what was taken at this shop?" "Well, Your Honor, like it was $3,000, and this person, they do it repeatedly." And the defense lawyer says, "Oh, but Your Honor, this person was born that way." "Oh, sorry. Go on. We didn't know you were born that way. That's okay." No, right? No. Sorry, there's a penalty for that. Born like it or not. And so that's the way it is, folks. And there's deliverance. There's healing. And the closer we get to Jesus, the further we get away from the world. That's what sanctification is all about, being separated from the world. And we get close to Him, and those things behind grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and His grace. Hallelujah. He becomes more beautiful than that thing there in Jesus' name. And it loses its attraction. It loses its grip. It loses its hold. And I'm set free to worship. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's a choice. It's a choice we make. And we're given that choice. Right? Because that's the requirement. Choose you this day whom you must serve. See that? God will not make robots out of us. That he made us with volition. We have the ability, with a will. We can choose. And that's what he loves, when we choose to serve him. And then there's all kinds of benefits that goes with that. Once we've decided, right? Once we've chosen, then he says, I can do something with you now. I can set you free. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, let me just go on a little bit more. Prayer. So, you know, like, there's a great word study that we could do here. We don't have the time. It's not the place right now. But, you know, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand. Having done all to stand. You know, that speaks of having a tenacity. Having some good timber. You know, like if you're going to build a boat, you're going to go in the woods, you look for some good timber, right? You want the right timber in this boat. And that's, when we got the right timber in us, we can face storms. You know, the tenacity, staying power. After having done all to stand, we stand because my faith says, because the word of God says this, and I'm a soldier, and God is raising up an army like we sang about Tuesday night forever, right? Holly, wasn't Tuesday night good? Oh my. You're right, Mike. I mean, Tuesday nights are something else. Wow, wow. So prayer, you know, the whole armor is listed out there. And it says, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Wow. So that means there's darts coming at you. If you're a child of God, there's darts coming at you, and the worst news is that they're on fire. They're on fire. And it wants to consume you. But my shield of faith, hallelujah. And when I come together with others with faith, that shield goes up there and it goes up here. And we are hemmed in by faith. Hallelujah. And no fiery dart of the enemy is going to break through in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. The Word of God. We got to get into the Word. We got to get into the Word until the Word gets into us. Amen? We got to get into the Word. Now, here's the part. Praying every now and then. Praying always. Right? With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So we see a intercessory prayer. We're praying always in intercession. We're praying for others. And we're praying, and you know, supplication means to ask. Nothing wrong with asking. Nothing wrong asking and for others. Interceding. God, I ask that in Jesus' name that you release on this body of believers in Family Worship Center that you would give them a spirit of wisdom, a spirit of revelation in the knowledge of Christ. Hallelujah. That our eyes be enlightened to the knowledge of Christ in Jesus' name. So that's supplication. I'm asking. I'm interceding. When should I do that? All the time. All the time. Yeah, we gotta, you know, attend to, but we should revert back to. I had an uncle, and as a boy, I hear him all the time. Thank you, Jesus. You know, he's down there on a boat. He's picking up a piece of something. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And he, you know, but he was praying all the time. He was praying all the time. You can do it. We can do it. Why? So that we can access the power. That might, that strength that he said, be strong in the power of his might. Why? Because the enemy is trying to put things in your mind. He's trying to build a road into your mind that will cause you to get off course and to believe a lie. and we cast that down in Jesus' name, and we think on those things which are of good report. Virtuous things we think on in Jesus' name. And we don't fight against flesh and blood, no matter what it looks like. If we say it's the flesh, it's a lie. Because however the flesh is, now that might be a little bit confusing to you, but just look at it this way. All sin originates from the devil, right? Every sickness, disease, everything comes from the enemy. And so that one that might be a mouthpiece that absolutely blindsided you, you didn't expect that from them, it still originates from the devil. And we're told, don't attack that person for saying that. They do not know of which they speak. Don't ask me where that's found. But the truth is, it's still from the evil one. And the Spirit of God is telling us today, if we just see that person how God sees them, wouldn't that be awesome? Because he don't see you one way today, and you slip up, and God is saying, oh boy, I guess we made a mistake there, didn't we, Holy Ghost? I mean, no. And so we see that person, as we mentioned some months ago, as a diamond, precious in the sight of the Lord. Today, this morning, I'm closing with this. I thought about the story of Aaron and Hur. Again, very familiar, but I believe the Holy Spirit would want us to bring this to our remembrance for a moment. Aaron and Hur, two guys who went to the top of the mountain with Moses when the Amalekites were attacking the children of Israel. Children of Israel had just come through underneath the lintel and the doorposts that was smeared with the blood of the spotless lamb. They came out under the blood out of Egypt. They came through the waters, the Red Sea. And they're now being, they model our salvation. And they're out of the Egypt, and they're going towards the promises of God. And as they were on the way, the enemy attacked them. That's what he does. We just heard how we have to be on guard by the attack of the enemy. Well, the enemy attacked the children of God, and what did Moses do? Moses went to prayer. We see Moses going up on the mountain with Hur and Aaron, and we see hands raised, but you can be sure he's going there to pray, primarily is to pray. And so he's going there to pray, and the Bible says that in the valley, there's the children of Israel fighting against the Amalekites. And as Moses up on the mountain that could view what was going on and praying, he's praying like this. God, you brought them out. This was your idea, God. You sent me to get these people. We've done everything at your word. And now we're being attacked. See? You're saved by the blood of Jesus. And now you're being attacked by a cowardly enemy. And so Moses stands there, and so we see the perfect image of what really happens to us. Aaron, they observe very quickly that as Aaron and Hur was watching Moses intercede for the people that God instructed him to bring out, that he was getting tired, and his hands would come down, and probably even, you know, and when he did that, they were looking. Look, they're turning around. The children of Israel are falling back. They're not advancing. They were losing the battle. And then I can imagine Moses going, oh, God, you see them again, God. And when he, after a couple of times, they saw, yes, have you seen that? Every time Moses' hands comes down. See, they're going back. They're backwards. They're losing the battle. They're losing the battle when the prayer and the praise and the worship stops. So Aaron said, come on, Hur. His hands can't go down. And they got on each side, and they lifted up Moses' hands as Moses prayed. And the Bible says they were victorious. They were victorious. They won the battle. But there's three. See that? It took unity, right? It took agreement. It took praise and worship and prayer. And the enemy was defeated. Prayer is significant, church. Prayer is significant. And the enemy wants to destroy prayer. He wants to destroy you, and he wants to destroy prayer in your lives, in our church, and in your lives individually, and in you as couples. You may have never started, and you may have started and stopped. Can I make a confession to you? Lynn and I are having the battle of our lives with our prayer time. Battle of our lifetime. And the reason is because of the power of agreement, the power of prayer, the power of praying together. It's the Lord's strength. It's in the power of His might that we defeat the enemy. And it cuts off that flow of the lies. It cuts off the wiles of the enemy. And so he will do everything he can to stop you. If you would, God forbid that you would see this as some egotistical example. We know we are your servants. I know that only too well. Lord told me the first church I went, he said, park your car as far as you can from that door. Don't you park up front and have a big sign up, pastor, because you're a servant. That's why I park at the end over there. I know I'm a servant. But for the purpose of the demonstration, if we were representing Moses here today, the battle is significant. And I think in some way, the under-shepherd does. Because in a way, we're under-shepherds. And you can be sure the enemy wants to attack leadership. Not only us, but even the board. Any leadership, any department that God is raising up in a church, hell will come against. And especially against the leadership as it relates to Moses and Aaron and Hur. Notice there's protocol too. We learn from the story. There is protocol in the kingdom. And so today I'm being transparent with you because this matters more to me than a job. I want to tell you, we're not hirelings. We're not here. We appreciate the job, yes, and it's a necessary part of our lives, isn't it? You all go to work. That's fine. But that's secondary. Secondary. We could change jobs tomorrow, all of us, and we could find a job somewhere else, I'm sure. That's secondary. Primary is the purpose for which God placed us here. And for what He wants to do. God, He's already shown us that He's got an amazing plan. He's brought us out. He's establishing us. He's touching lives. But I can assure you, if we do not recognize, and I would be less than a man of integrity if I didn't share with you what I'm sharing with you today. So I'm being transparent at the risk of being misunderstood. But if we don't get this right, we may as not be, well not be here. Because unless God does it, unless God fights the battle, the victory never comes. There's no victory unless God is in charge. And He's not in charge unless it's followed according to the biblical pattern and according to the laws of Scripture. And the principle of prayer, is never removed from our gospel. And so I'm asking you to pray. I'm asking that the Lord would raise up a spirit of Aaron and Hur in this church. More than one Aaron. More than one Hur. The spirit of Aaron and Hur on you. I'm begging you to listen to Holy Spirit, because I'm sure He's talking. And He has spoken. And I'm sure some of you have prayed. But I'm telling you right now, we need your prayer. We need your prayer. Because if this battle is going to be won, Whether it's us taking leadership or the next person will come along, I'm telling you right now, under the protocol that God has established in the church, that you need your leaders to be people of prayer. You need your leaders to be people of prayer. You hear me? You need your leadership to be people of prayer, because without prayer, you get nothing. You will not win the battle. You will lose the war even. People's hearts will be lost. Thank you. So I'm asking you today, you know, I'm so excited about my wife. I married up. It's no question about it. You know, I know that, and Alex is in agreement. So, but the truth is, it's more about more than that. It's about more than that, isn't it? You know, the Lord gave me a great woman 40 years ago, and when we stepped out in ministry, the enemy just attacked her, and she's gone through some stuff, some serious stuff, and most people would have packed the bags and run, and. So, you know, but all that does is tells me just how significant God wants to do something, how significant a work he wants to do. And the degree to which he will attack is the degree to which he has an amazing plan. He has an amazing plan. Hallelujah. So I'm asking you to pray. I'm asking you to pray. I'm asking folk, please, in Jesus' name, in your private time, In your, you know, not only to pray for us, because we need it. We need it right now. We need it. That thing, that key, that placed us in ministry, that's the thing that we're fighting now big time. We start and we lose the consistency of it. We start and, for you know, the enemy has stolen it again. Something has happened and is not happening. And I know why. So I'm asking for your prayer. But I'm also asking for you as couples. If you're, you know, if you're not married, find somebody as a partner. If you're, whatever. Get someone to agree with you, for sure. Get somebody to, because there's power in coming to prayers of agreement. Get somebody to agree with you. Begin to pray all of them Tuesday night and Sunday morning and Sunday night. I believe the Lord would have us have a fresh revelation of that. And let's see what God will do.
Thank you, Pastor. We hope you enjoyed today's message. If you would like a copy of this message or any other message, you can contact us by writing Family Worship Center, P.O. Box 1092, St. George in Brunswick, E5C2G8. Or call us at area code 506-755-3759. You can also visit us online at www.stgeorgefwc.com. You can also find us on Facebook. On behalf of pastor, staff, and congregation of the Family Worship Center, we would like to welcome you to join us as we all meet together at 10:30 a.m. right here at the Family Worship Center in St. George, New Brunswick. Until next week, God bless, and have a blessed week.